Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 671. I am your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty, is laying on the floor somewhat near me, bathing in the sun, doing a little sunbathing. He's got to do that primarily upstairs now because there's no sunlight. Almost zero sunlight coming in downstairs. I mean, he can't go behind the drapes in the dining room and sunbathe over there. But it doesn't seem like anyone likes to do that now. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't like the red. So it's like sunbathing upstairs now. That's the location to get the rays, the UV rays. As I've blocked it out for him downstairs. Though he likes to hang out downstairs. He just can't really do as much sunbathing there as... He does really enjoy watching the movies with me on the sofa and watching it on the projector as we just lay around and sleep. It's he's always encouraging me to sleep more. And I do enjoy sleep, but, really, I'd like to do more while I'm awake. And also, you know, when I don't want to sleep while I'm like getting into something, watching it on the old projector. As I just went back through and watched Stranger Things, all of that, gearing up for the last and final new season. There's the new season that's coming up. I think it starts Thanksgiving ish when they release the first couple episodes or what have you. And excited. Excited for that denouement, if you will. I'm thinking it's possible they could end up having some spinoffs, but I've also went back and watched Inglourious Basterds, the Tarantino masterpiece, if you ask me, which. He's had quite, he's done, what, 9 films? And I gotta say, I'd think, for me, in particular, I love pretty much every Tarantino movie. That being said, though, it's still Inglourious Basterds. I am super excited about it. What I would say here is, I'm looking at Google trying to as I'm talking about this, trying to search out topics ahead. And I'm not very good at typing about something in the future and also talking about what's going on here. But Inglourious Basterds, man, that is such a fine film. The tension that is built up in that movie is so great. I mean, that opening scene that you have where Christoph Waltz's character is introduced, Colonel Hans Landa, the Jew hunter, when he is introduced, and the French farm worker, which I don't recall if they actually name him, but that them discussing while underneath their feet, you have, I guess you consider maybe her the main protagonist. I mean, it's definitely a group film. I don't know that there's a main protagonist, but if I were to choose one, I guess I would say it would be Shoshana, which she is hiding out with her family in this French farmhouse underneath Colonel Hans Landa. And then, of course, after a intense scene where I think it's been years since I watched that movie in the theater, but I still remember a lot of my initial reactions, which I was definitely like, are they, because it seemed like they were gearing up to kill Hitler, which I was like, I really thought they were going to have all of the bastards, that being Brad Pitt, Aldo the Apache, and the rest of the crew that were killing Nazis and business was booming. Knowing the history of World War II, I had figured that it would be a little bit more historically accurate as far as, Hitler not dying in the theater and the rest of the German high command being just brutally murdered. But I was pleasantly surprised as it got closer. I was like, oh shit, I think they're going to kill Hitler. Unfortunately, Hitler took that away from everybody else, the ability to kill Hitler. He did it himself. And anyway, that first scene, I don't remember my initial react. I remember seeing that scene. I pretty much remember like the whole movie. I mean, it was just very, I mean, I loved it from the get-go. And that first scene, it was just, the intensity of it. And it definitely did seem, from the first time I watched it, again, my memory of it, this is over a decade ago, well over a decade ago. And I'm old as shit now. I'm pretty sure that I initially thought like, oh yeah, this dude's hiding Jews. That's what we're getting at. And, I figured it was going to end badly for the Jews and the guy, hiding the Jews. We don't get to see what happens to the fellow that was hiding Shoshana. Although Hans Landa did tell him like, hey, basically you go with this and, you'll be fine. But, again, knowing history, knowing about the real Nazis, they were not, nice to people that had aided in the, escape and or hiding of Jews. So I'm thinking there's a good chance he may have just killed them or sent them to a concentration camp. but we don't know that part. We just get that moment where Hans Landa, for whatever reason, decided not to kill Shoshana, did not shoot at her once after having the other German military, or I don't remember if they're SS or not. I feel like they were just regular German Wehrmacht soldiers. That's great. I mean, that whole movie. I mean, that first scene just really... I mean, you can get this total... Like, Christoph Waltz plays just... I mean, he plays that part so well. I mean, you can feel the evilness from this German Nazi... I had to preface the Nazi part. Like, Germans aren't inherently bad. Just the Nazis are. Oh, hell yeah, man. I mean, that movie is something else. Something else. And, I look forward to Tarantino's final film. Seems like they had one that he was working on, decided to kibosh that. I don't know when we're going to see the final Tarantino film. Of course, I'll go see it in the movie theater, even though I have a movie theater downstairs. It'll be one I don't want to hold off on that I will make sure to go see in the theater. Now, granted, it is pretty much like seeing it in the movie theater, watching it on the projector downstairs. But it's still not quite the real thing, you know? It's not like seeing it, and then especially now that they have such like grand screens. You go to the B&B theaters, and they have the grand screen. I can't beat that. I can't beat that. And the sound system. And also, though I have really the movie theater experience here, I can only seat a couple of people. There's not much seating. And there is something to be said about seeing a movie with an audience and also kind of getting the feel for their reaction. And it's just a total different experience than watching it at home. Sometimes that can be bad, though. So, like, most of the time, people are very respectful in movie theaters, but occasionally you get in there and you get some real jackasses that won't shut up or fucking with their phone the whole time. It happens. You know, some people are fucking assholes. It's just the world. I would hope that watching Tarantino's final film on the screen, though, that everyone is going to be respectful. As I think one of the worst times of having distractions, which we talked about years, there was a couple of them, I guess, but was watching It Chapter One, and there was clearly some other people in the theater that were sitting like front row that had already seen the movie and were just shitting on it and just spoiling it for everybody else throughout the whole movie. And I think pretty much the entire theater wanted to strangle them. And yet somehow no one did. Thankfully not in jail. The other one being like the Ninja Turtles movies, it was the first one with Megan Fox. I didn't bother to watch the one after that. Or the however many after that. That one, this was funny. This was, I thought was more entertaining than the movie, but Muffin Man and I went and saw that, I believe, it was in Union Theater. And there was a woman that showed up like 20 minutes into the fucking movie with like five or six kids. There was a lot of them. And of course, she was videotaping the movie with her phone. And, of course, the theater employees came to, like, make her stop, and she refused. She's like, fuck you. There was very much uppity, like, go fuck yourself. I am fucking entitled. She was very much a Karen before Karens. This was, I think, before Karen was a term. And she was just very in your face. Fuck you. Fuck you. And then, of course, after like management had come to talk to her, and she refused to leave and to stop recording. Then they eventually got a police officer to come to the theater, and all of a sudden she was very polite. She was very yes sir, no sir. And the officer made her get up and proceeded to have the children get up too. And I want to say there was like good six children, which these days there's not many people that have like six children unless you're like fucking Mormon or something. You know, that's not usually a thing. And now, I don't know if it was just the amount of kids that got up that shocked the cop, or just he wasn't sure if they were hers because, well, I don't remember if all of them were mixed race, but there was definitely, they were darker skinned. She was white. She was very white. That's why she was entitled. I presume that's why she was entitled. But he asked, are these your children? She got very offended by that. to be fair to the cop, don't know if he was being racist because there appear to be black children, or just the fact that there was a lot of kids. There was a lot of kids, and you know, maybe they were having a birthday party or something. And she was just watching these somebody else's kids along with hers, what have you. She got out. And I think the cops didn't let her go because I don't think they wanted to deal with all these children have to. And also, like, what the fuck? You know, it is illegal to record a movie with your phone. but it was a shitty little old phone that she, well, I wasn't getting much of a good recording. She wasn't even for the whole movie. It's not like she's going to fucking bootleg this thing. This woman was just dumb as shit. That's the only time I've ever noticed anybody recording a movie before. Nowadays, it just seems kind of silly to do so, because you can get pirated movies off the internet as soon as they fuck, sometimes before they release, you can get a pirated version of it. I mean, they're all digital copies anyway. Very few films, you know, these days are just don't start as ones and zeros. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, that was probably, I mean, the that was entertaining. I thought that was funny, even though, you know, it was that was the funniest one though. There's been other times. I remember when I saw the reboot of Friday the 13th. That I saw at Ronnie's. And, I mean, it's a slasher flick, which I really did enjoy that movie, but somebody had brought, like, an infant. Like, you know, one that, you know, hadn't even learned to crawl yet. This was like a fucking newborn. To that film. Of all films. And, you know, there's a lot of screaming and stuff, and the baby was not into it. It heard people screaming on film, and it wanted to join in. And the child sure did. But at least with that, eventually, the mother or whoever took that kid into the theater realized, like, okay, this isn't working out. We should probably leave. But they were in there for a while, man. They were in there for a while. It's like, but, you know, it kind of added to the ambiance of the horror film, I got to say. Having a real live screaming baby didn't really deter from the movie as much as, say, those fucking teenagers that were interrupting it chapter one. My main topic of discussion, I figured, for tonight was going to be, of course, I mean, if you're unaware, Ozzy Osbourne. He's not doing well these days. I'm not saying he's dead, although hopefully, I hope he survives at least a couple more weeks, because he does have his final concert coming up on July 5th, I believe it is. Ozzy is just the man. oh man. But, if you're unaware, he's got Parkinson's and it's getting pretty bad. Here's an article on people.com saying he can no longer walk due to Parkinson's. And of course his final show is next week. But they're saying his voice is according to Sharon, is as good as it's ever been. I mean, I've seen video of him recently of him attempting to walk and stuff. And man, it's sad. It's sad. You know, Ozzy to me, you know, is like will ever forever be immortalized as, you know, basically the godfather of metal. as those first three Sabbath albums, man, holy shit. Or first four. I mean, it's the first several. I mean, to me, there's only one Black Sabbath, and it's with Ozzy at the helm. I never, you know, maybe at some point I'll go into a deep dive and just do all Sabbath. I mean, they got a lot of albums. But I never really got into the Ronnie James Dio era. And there was that other fella, like in the 80s. I can't remember his name. You know, you get that original lineup of course, Ozzy being the front man. Tony motherfucking Iommi on guitar. with, you know, this classic story about him working in a machine shop, which I think he only worked briefly at the machine shop, but he cut off the tips of a couple of fingers. And then instead of, he could have, you know, attempted to just learn the guitar with the opposite hand. He plays left-handed. He could have then attempted to just play right-handed, but I guess thankfully he didn't. He ended up, because the sound of Viommi wouldn't be quite the same had he not made fake fingertips to put on and then have to go with really light string gauge. You know, it just wouldn't be quite the same. I think that really influenced his playing style. Holy shit. I mean, I love Tony Iommi and that fucking SG special. I mean, I've got the latest version of the SG special with the monkey on it sitting right beside me. And then, of course, you got Terry Geezer Butler, who just went a year or two ago, which I never did get around to getting his book. But he did put out a book, and he talks, I mean, I believe he talks but through his whole life, but you get some great stories of, like, early Sabbath. But and of course, on drums, you got Mr. Bill Ward, which I've watched, like, the concert footage, at least of a few of the songs of Black Sabbath's The End, which was supposed to be, I mean, seems like for the last 20 years, every Black Sabbath show was always, like, or the tour was The End, The Last Supper, The Last... It's been that way for quite some time. Like, this is it. This is the final one. But when they did The End in 2017, I think it was, that had the original lineup with the exception of Bill Ward. Bill Ward was not a part of it, which was a damn shame, man. Bill Ward was 1/4 of Sabbath, man. And, I mean, that's a tight-knit band. You listen to the album Paranoid, man, like War Pigs, all that shit that's on there, and just you take out any part of that. You take out the drums, you take out Ozzy, Geezer, or Iommi. I mean, it's just not the fucking same. Like that is just like a perfect band, you know? It's like nobody's part is greater or worse than the others. You know, they're all very important to the overall composition. And holy shit, man, I just fucking love that stuff. So what I was getting at is, of course, because of Ozzy's illness, like, he's not able to tour. He can't fucking tour. I mean, it says he can't even fucking walk. I guess I could read this article a little bit here. Ozzy Osbourne can no longer walk as his health continues to be impacted by Parkinson's disease. On February 5th, Sharon Osbourne, his wife, spoke to The Sun about her husband's battle with the disease while sharing her excitement that Ozzy, at 76, will be returning with Black Sabbath for the first time in 20 years for his final concert in July. Well, that's not accurate. The End was... well, I guess that means because they didn't include Bill Ward, the original lineup. This article's a little fucked up. Anyway, he's very happy to be coming back and very emotional about this. She said, Parkinson's is a progressive disease. It's not something you can stabilize. It affects different parts of the body, and it's affected his legs, she added. But his voice is as good as it has ever been. Ozzy discussed the condition of his health on his Sirius XM radio show. The outlet reports, I've made it to 2025, he said. I can't walk, but you know what I was thinking over the holidays. For all my complaining, I'm still alive. I may be moaning that I can't walk, but I look down the road and there's people that didn't do half as much as me and didn't make it. He added, Sharon later told Radio X that Ozzy has to work with a physiotherapist every day to keep his muscles moving. He's fine, she adds, as fine as you can be with Parkinson's. Ozzy was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 2003, and following his fourth spinal surgery in September of 2023, the Black Sabbath rocker was focused on his health and mobility. During the episode of the Osbournes podcast last year, Ozzy noted that numerous surgeries were taking a toll on him. "Tomorrow I have my final surgery on my neck," he said at the time, "which is, it is going to be the final surgery because I can't do it anymore. Regardless of the way it ends up tomorrow, I'm not doing it anymore. I can't. My feet feel like I've got bricks tied to them when I'm walking." He admitted, "I walked upstairs today and downstairs for the first time in a while, and my feet feel like I've got diving boots on while I'm walking. I think it's the nerves. Then I was thinking maybe I just need to get up off my ass and walk around the block a few times." The Crazy Train singer also told critics to fuck off when it comes to his recent health battles, assuring that I'm far from being on my last leg. Which, you know, I guess it sounds like, you know, he'll still be, you know, kicking and breathing. Well, kicking was maybe the wrong term to use. But yeah, I mean, he can't go out and perform. He can't be Ozzy Osbourne on a stage like he once was. But we are getting a final show. I imagine he's probably going to be seated. I wonder if he's going to borrow Dave Grohl's throne that he had when he broke his leg. That'll be interesting, I imagine. Or at least do something similar to the Dave Grohl throne. I'm not sure. But if you're interested in watching the last ever Ozzy Osbourne Black Sabbath fucking show, it is, July 5th. And they will be live streaming it. I think I'm probably going to live stream it. Which you can buy a ticket for live streaming as well as a shirt to go along with it, a concert shirt. Because, of course, it's in Birmingham where they started out, that being Black Sabbath. And, you know, of course, Ozzy. And you can live stream the event for just live streaming is $29.99. That is $30, essentially. And you get live stream access to watch the entire Back to the Beginning event starting July 5th at 3 p.m. BST, whatever standard time that is. I don't know what... It looks like, I don't know when exactly it's going to be out in the U.S., but apparently from what I understand, from when they start the show, it's coming out 2 hours ahead. I know here in Missouri, where Central Standard Time, I don't know how far ahead. Let's see, Central. I don't know what CST to BDT. Okay, converting CST. That's not okay. That's not the time I want. I'm converting. Such epic shit, right? EDT. We'll do EDT. That is EDT to CST. CS. Okay. Da-da-da. World time, buddy. Here we go. Okay. Da, da, da. Let's see here. If, figure this out. Okay, the live stream access to watch the entire Back to the Beginning event starts July 5th at 3 p.m. Or, well, 10 a.m. EDT. I already got EDT in there. 10 a.m. EDT. Now, what the fuck does that do for... Let's see here. Add a time zone, fuckers. Uh, Okay, well, this will help me figure it out. Well, no, it won't. God damn it. Do-do-do. Da-da-da. Sent. Where is... No, we are not 1 hour difference from... I think this is fucked up now here. What is the... You know what? We'll just... that's Eastern... EDT is... Okay. Yeah. Yeah, okay. That makes... So we're only an hour behind. I was thinking Eastern Standard... I was thinking EST. That confuses me with the EDT part. So Eastern Standard Time. We're CDT or CST. So yeah, okay. I don't know my time zones, man. So it'll be. We'll be at nine. It'll be in Central Time Zone right here in Missouri. It'll be 9 a.m. at the start. That'll be what time I will start it. Anyway. So, hopefully you do that. I believe that's next Saturday, July 5th. This is next Saturday. But if you pay the $30, you can live stream that, and then you get it video on demand available from July 5th, shortly after the event. Conclusion until July 7th at 3 p.m. or 10, basically the same till July 7th at whatever time start. So basically you have 2 days to watch it. fuck, I might get the bundle. The Back to the Beginning live stream plus exclusive t-shirt bundle. You get the live stream access just like you did before, the VOD, video on demand access. Then you get the Back to the Beginning exclusive black live stream t-shirt. Features a photo of Black Sabbath Henry, that is the flying demon that's on, I don't know, is it on every, I don't know when they started using Henry, but if you've seen like Sabbath and you see that flying devil, that's Henry. The event date, venue, and Back to the Beginning printed on the front and made in Birmingham, printed on the back of the shirt. Only available to live stream viewers. Items will be shipped on or before July 25th. Product is final sale. I don't get to see the back. Oh, okay, yeah. Henry's also on the back of the shirt, where it says made in Birmingham. That's cool. You made it in Birmingham. I mean, Sabbath is made in Birmingham, and so is the shirt. but yeah, if you go to backtothebeginning.com, you can, that's where you go to live stream it. And, I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, it's sad. It's sad that, this is, of course, Ozzy's last hurrah, you know, on stage. There's a guy that's performed a lot of shows. Unfortunately, I was of age to watch, Ozfest, but I never did go to, I loved all the bands. Or most of the bands that were there. And I don't know. I just wasn't going to a whole lot of concerts at the time. I really should have. You know? I should have gone to at least one fucking Ozfest. It's a shame on me. I'll never see Ozzy live. I've watched plenty of Ozzy Black Sabbath concerts on, you know, YouTube and whatnot. But most of the concerts, you know, usually when I see live music, it's just like a local band. There's been only just not enough times that I've gone and seen like big acts. And really, it's just a money issue. I just didn't want to spend the money. Of course, you know, I love music and live music. But yeah, I should have gone to way more concerts than I did in my life. That being said, but you know, hey, I played a lot of guitar. I'm still connected to music. I did go to a concert, you know, what, a month ago, and that was pretty fucking awesome. Seeing Primus live again. Woo! Good shit. Anyway, Fuck, man, Sabbath is just a big impact on me. Some of that first early music that I really got into when I was playing guitar, which, I mean, the first things I really were trying to play were like Beatles songs, and Hendrix was the first real like guitarist I got like heavily into. Tony Iommi, man, learning like War Pigs and whatnot on guitar and just hitting those notes, I was like, oh, something deep. It just affected something deep inside me, you know. Tony touched me deep inside. Point to the part where they touched you. Anyway, yeah. And I used to wear Shelly, you know, my brother. That he went to a bunch of Ozfests and brought back when they had their Last Supper tour. When they reunited, and he had gotten me the concert shirt from there, and it's the Last Supper, but it's, you know, you got Black Sabbath and Ozzy up there doing the Last Supper, and it's just a great shirt, and I wore that shirt like every fucking weekend for years. I got a lot of shit from people for wearing the Black Sabbath shirt, and if I didn't wear it, I was like, where the fuck is the Black Sabbath shirt? Anyway, it I wore that shirt for fucking ever, and you know, I did enjoy of course Ozzy outside of Black Sabbath, but it never hit quite as hard as those first few Sabbath albums. I mean, the first one, which was the self-titled one, I believe, is the first one, just Black Sabbath. And then you have, which is funny because they have a song called Black Sabbath. You have a song called Black Sabbath on the album Black Sabbath by the artist Black Sabbath. then, of course, it was Paranoid's number two. And was it Masters of Reality? Is that three? And then it gets a little. I know the first two. Was Masters of Reality the third or the fourth album? I don't know. It's been a while since I looked at the discography. But those first several albums were fucking amazing. And but I mean, I got into some Randy Rhoads a little bit. I mean, I'm not big on the tapping. Never been a fan much of the tapping. I kind of half-assed learned how to do it, but it just never sounded that great to me. It was a tad on the annoying side, to be honest. I don't know what it is exactly, but, you know, I mean, it's a cool, very showman-esque trick to do. And Randy Rhoads, I mean, he was just a great guitarist. I mean, Crazy Train. I did half-ass learn like Crazy Train, at least a couple of the riffs. I don't know how to do it now. I haven't attempted to play Crazy Train in many years. you want to hear, I mean, Diary of a Madman. It's a great song, but if you want to hear like somebody doing a great cover of some Ozzy shit, the Perfect Circle covering, they do a mashup of Diary of a Madman and The Cure's Love Song, which on paper, I don't know how the hell you'd mash these two songs up, but holy fuck, that is one of the greatest mashup songs I've ever fucking heard. That is just fantastic. It's unfortunately not on any album, but man, I love The Cure's The Love Song, and those two songs just go together very well. This Back to the Beginning show, back to that. I mean, it's not just Black Sabbath. I don't know what the full lineup is. Let's see what the But on their website here, backtothebeginning.com, of course, it's Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne, Metallica, Guns N' Roses, Slayer, Tool, Pantera. I guess you'd call it Pantera. I mean, Dimebag Darrell, of course, is not a part of it anymore because he was killed in, I don't know what, like 20-something years ago? It's been quite a while now. But and his brother, Vinny Paul, aren't they brothers, I think? Anyway, the original drummer of Pantera also passed away just a few years ago. And so it's Zakk Wylde on guitar and Charlie... I don't remember his last name exactly. But there's a lot of Pantera fans are not happy about that. Anyway. But yeah, I mean, you get basically Phil Anselmo and the original bass player in it. Rex, whatever. And, I mean, that's not the only band. You get Gojira. They, of course, famously played the Olympics where they were beheading. They had the headless Marie Antoinettes and stuff. And like, that's it. That was fantastic. Gojira. Hailstorm. Alice in Chains. They, of course, also, one of their original members has passed on many years ago via drug overdose, if I recall correctly. Lamb of God, Anthrax, Mastodon, and Rival Sons. But I mean, my big ones, I want to see Black Sabbath. And, you know, I'm a Tool fan. Tool fan. I mean, I like some Slayer, but... I mean, I grew up with some Guns N' Roses. Not a big fan. Axl Rose seems just like a real scumbag. But, you know, if I... You know, Slash has got some good shit. He's got some good licks. As I believe it's pretty much the original lineup for Guns N' Roses. You know, most of them. Was it the one of them died, I think. I don't know about that. Don't know that offhand. I don't follow Guns N' Roses much. When I think Guns N' Roses, I think of two different movies. I think Terminator 2. There's a scene where John is like, I think they're playing some Guns N' Roses for the part where, like, I want to say when he's, like, going up to the ATM and, like, fucking ripping the ATM off. It's been a while since I watched Terminator 2. And the other one, when I think Guns N' Roses, is Dirty Harry, was it Deadpool, I believe it is? That is not the comic book character either. It's just Clint Eastwood Deadpool. Nothing to do with the Marvel franchise. But Jim Carrey plays a rock star in the film. This is pre, you know, Dumb and Dumber and Ace Ventura. This is Jim Carrey just, you know, finding any role at any break he can get at this point. And, of course, he is lip syncing to, I want to say it's Welcome to the Jungle. And he does end up getting murdered in the film. He is in it. I feel like it's been well over a decade, probably like more than two decades since I watched Clint Eastwood Deadpool. But I do recall Jim Carrey being in the film, which again, is just there's something great about seeing him pretending to be Axl Rose, basically. And it's hard to take that part seriously. Although, I mean, he's playing it serious. He's not playing it. He's not like Jim Carrey in The Mask playing this rock star. That would be a few years late. But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty excited to see. I'm not a huge Metallica fan, but, you know, I like some Metallica stuff. I respect their, you know, massive catalog, and they've had a big impact on, you know, metal or heavy rock, you know. And you know, I respect Kirk Hammett's guitar collection. If you go on Gibson's YouTube channel, there's quite a few videos with Kirk Hammett, and he's just a big nerd. I feel like I would love to like just hang out with Kirk Hammett, and it's not like just liking some Metallica music. Again, not like a huge fan of Metallica. So I mean, I would be kind of fan out a little bit, but I would just see, he seems just like a dude that would be just awesome to just hang out with, because we seem to be in a lot of same shit. And holy man, his guitar collection, that is something else. I was just watching a thing with he's got a, I want to say a 1959 ES-335 that's like black, which there was only a couple, like less than 10 of these made in 1959 with a black, just all out black. I'm just gonna, unless I of course win the lottery or at some point say write a screenplay, which seems unlikely that I'll ever finish one. I've toyed around with doing such things, and you know that it would be a good one. Much, you know, there would not only would I have to finish one, but I'd have to make one good enough to be worth selling. I feel like I have better chances of winning the lottery. but those are about the only ways I could ever afford a vintage guitar like a 1959 ES-335. So, the price tag on those are fucking expensive. They just keep getting pricier. So I'm just going to have to watch Kirk Hammett talk about it. Unless, of course, I do something crazy to get a ton of money. Start my own meme coin, do a rug pull, you know, scam a bunch of people. That seems really unlikely. That's just very against my character. That is, I can't in good conscience get involved in any kind of cryptocurrency bullshit. All of that scam shit. But apparently it's pretty much legal now to go ahead and do that. So, not that I would, you know, encourage anybody to go rip some other people off, but hey, it's pretty much legal. Oh, I know. I was like, I had something else lined up, and like, oh yes, now I recall. I don't recall if I talked about this. I think I talked briefly. Yeah, I think briefly a couple episodes ago. Friday the 13th. It would seem that Gunn and Illphonic, the makers of the Friday the 13th game that came out, in, was it 2015, 2016-ish? Are bringing the game back, from what I understand. It is something else. I've was such a huge fan of this game when it came out, as just a fan of the franchise, Friday the 13th. And slasher films in general, but I mean, I love me some Friday the 13th. This unstoppable killer that never says a fucking word and a fucking hockey mask. I mean, so many things that I love here. The backstory of him dying in the lake. I mean, it's very much just a old campfire story you'd hear as a kid, you know, going out camping with the Boy Scouts, or just going to camp and like just hearing like, oh, this kid fucking died in the lake, man. Now he's coming back to kill everybody. And just, I mean, the original one, his mother's murdering the camp counselors. And of course, the visual of Jason as a child coming out of the lake to pull the girl under out of the canoe. I mean, it doesn't get any more iconic than that. That is good shit. But, I mean, it does sound that the original team is, or at least the two companies, Gunn and Illphonic, are getting back together to work on Friday the 13th. Although I'm hearing some people say it's like official. Other, I mean, I'm not seeing anything like. Oh, Kane Hodder. Whoa. This is 17 days ago. Kane Hodder said it. Kane Hodder, of course, played Jason Voorhees. And I want to say his first one, I want to say it was part 7. Don't quote me on that, but I believe his first foray into Friday the 13th was Friday the 13th part 7. That is the one where you get the girl that can do the telekinesis stuff. She's like 11. Maybe that might have been the basis for 11. They might have been watching Friday the 13th. The Duffer brothers were like, there we go. Imagine her as a young child. How did she get this way? There's doctors. MK Ultra'd her into this. Anyway, this is off Reddit, so again, you know, this isn't like official shit, but this is under the subreddit, which, oh man, Friday 13th, the game, the subreddit, which I'm joining that shit. I love that game so much, and of course, they shut down the servers for the game, so if you have it on PlayStation or whatnot, you can't play it online anymore. However, there was a big mod that was put out, and they added all kinds of shit to the game, but you had to have the PC version. And unfortunately, I didn't buy it on PC. I wish I would have. I got a PC. I could have played it on there. But I chose to do it on the PlayStation. Damn it. And had I known, you know, they're going to put out all that shit that you could play via some mods, I'd have fucking kept the thing. There's like servers, but this is what they have as of 17 days ago. This is X4Dennis24. Sounds like a real reliable source here. He does have a link to a YouTube video, so I don't know if it's actually got Kane Hodder in there, but it says Kane Hodder just confirmed he just did mocap work with Gun and Ilphonic. What's everyone think? F13 remaster, F13 sequel, something new. Oh, so he didn't specifically say it was Friday 13th, but why the fuck are they getting Kane Hodder for anything outside of Friday 13th? Of course, again, he was part 7. I want to say he was Voorhees for part 7. Of course, Jason Takes Manhattan, part 8. Jason Goes to Hell, which he's only in there briefly. I think that was by far the worst Friday 13th film. That's in my opinion. That's like New Line's first foray into Friday 13th. And the shitty part was you don't really get Jason other than very briefly at the beginning and a little bit at the end, if I remember correctly. Because it just turns into a slug and starts infecting people. And then, of course, Jason X, which is one of the worst ones, but I don't think it's as bad as Jason Goes to Hell. Jason X is Jason in space. There's some some classic parts of that. There's the part where he goes into the holodeck and he's at camp. They send him to Camp Crystal Lake. And he kills that one, or attempts to kill that one girl in the sleeping bag, right, beating her up against a tree. But of course, it's, you know, a hologram or whatever you want to consider, and so he can't really kill her. So there's some just great moments in Jason X. But anyway, yeah, Kane Hodder was in that. He was not in Freddy vs. Jason, but he did have, so he had, what, 3 films where he got to play Jason Voorhees? And I think he's just, you know, a fan of horror in general. I mean, he's all he's really worked on that I'm aware of is just, like, horror movies. He played, like, Ed Gein in a movie. But here we go. They're saying more to this conversation here. Da-da-da-da. Ba-ba-ba-ba. Yeah, I guess no one's really... I'm not really seeing... I thought I was getting more of a definitive answer, but apparently Kane Hodder said he was working with doing mocap, the screen capture for Ilphonic and Gun. So, which they also did, you know, I mean, they made the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game, which was fun. I just never, I played it for a little bit, and it just wasn't Friday the 13th. I wanted Friday the 13th. It's a cool game. It's worth the playthrough. Just like The Evil Dead. I mean, I played that more than I did the Texas Chainsaw Massacre because I fucking love me some Bruce Campbell. Fucking love me. You know, Army of Darkness and what have you and all that. All that classic shit. And, yeah, just none of it had quite the feel. There's, I think, for me, there's just so many, there's a lot of strategies you can go with, like, with the Friday the 13th. And, because you got, you know, you either play as a camp counselor or you play as Jason Voorhees. Which either I found very fun. It didn't matter if I was the killer or the counselor. You know, some of those games, you'd like The Evil Dead, I don't know. I didn't really care for playing as the demons. I wanted to play as Ash all the time. But it was equally as satisfying, I'd say, with Friday the 13th to be Jason or the camp counselors. And you have a shot. I mean, you can actually, you know, it's hard to do, but you can actually kill Jason. Like, there's so many things you can do. You can escape via fixing the phone lines, calling the cops, and then running out where the cops come in at, which I believe it changes what spot they enter in at. You go through there, you can exit out where the cops are. And, you can fix the vehicle or boat and get out that way, but you still have to evade Jason. Once you either get in the boat or the car, he can still fucking kill you. And they're just like, so you can booby trap him as Jason. You can get the traps, the bear traps to put down by the car to fucking get him stuck in it, or by the phone, and it's just so much fun playing that game. And just the way to kill Jason, I mean, it's, you can do it, but man, it you gotta play with a good solid team of counselors, and everybody's gotta work together, because someone has to go get Jason's mom's sweater to put that on, and then of course it has to be worn by a female. And then, I think it's the sweater you get. I don't think it's like his head or his mom's head or anything. But anyway, you get the sweater and you end up, you have to have Tommy Jarvis come back. Because I think it's the first member of your crew. I haven't played this game in a few years now. But you get the first counselor that dies. Or like one of the first, I don't remember how it's figured, but one of them will come back as Tommy Jarvis, who in the films, at least the Paramount ones, it was like he was in three of the movies, which one was part five, which Jason isn't. Another one, of course, Jason isn't in two of the films. The first one, of course, well, he's sort of in the first one. He's in at the very end. But then, of course, part five. But, you know, part one, of course, you know, his mother killed pretty much everybody. Of course, part five, it was an imposter. So I'm pretending to be Jason. But Tommy Jarvis was in that one as well. And we got the idea at the end of part five that maybe he was going to start killing people as Jason. Didn't turn out to be the case, which part six, Tommy Jarvis comes back once again because he was Corey Feldman in part four and got to kill Jason. He fucked his shit up. And one of the last good roles Corey Feldman did. I mean, he did a few other good movies after that, but before he went batshit crazy. Which, to be fair, I mean, he was a kid. Probably wasn't the most sane, but I mean, he was a kid. But Corey Feldman as a kid, man, great fucking films. Anyway, so Tommy Jarvis had a history of killing Jason. You know, he kills him in part 4 and part 6. That's, you know. And they did, there was a fan film, too, where the original actor that played Tommy Jarvis returns for that. I forgot the name of that, but that's, you can find on YouTube, you can find in Friday the 13th fan films. They made, like, two good, and they're very well made. I mean, and they got I would say original actor that played Tommy Jarvis, but I'm not talking Corey Feldman, I'm talking about part 6. So it's not really the original actor, but, like, the best Tommy Jarvis. And anyway, to kill Jason, you get somebody has to come back as Tommy Jarvis because he's got to make the final kill, the blow. And you have to also, but before he has to use the machete, if I remember correctly, to kill Jason. So you have to get him, Jason, stunned by a female counselor having the his mother's sweater. And but also, you have to knock Jason's mask off, and someone has to have that in there. I don't think it has to be Tommy Jarvis that has it, but somebody has to have Jason's mask. They have to pick it up. I mean, there's a lot of steps to killing Jason, which there should be. It's it was never easy in the movies. And of course, you got to beat the shit out of Jason. You got to get him to a certain health, but there's no way to know how much health he has. They hide that fact from you. So you just had to beat the shit out of him for a while and hope that you're good to go. I only got to participate, I think, once, maybe twice in killing Jason. And I didn't get to, like, deliver the final blow or anything. But you got to be with a good team of counselors. It is, it's pretty cool. How much you got to work together. And I mean, it's a team, well, kind of cooperative. You can escape on your own as a counselor, but really you got to cooperate with others because there's a lot of just surviving is luck on that, because to find a good weapon, it's just, you know, depends on what appeared where. And there's, as far as killing Jason goes, I mean, you don't know where his mother's cabin is. You've got a map of the campgrounds. I think there's usually only a couple of spots that'll spawn, like, on each map. But, you don't know for sure. Unless you fix one of the cars, you know, traveling around the map is time-consuming. You got to fucking run. And Jason will hear you if you start running real hard, and if you get in the car, he'll be able to find you. So it's risky, you know. It's a lot of risk. I mean, possibility of things in a match can happen in that game as opposed. Now, I didn't get into, like, all the survival horror the whatever type of game you want to consider this. But I did play, you know, Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Evil Dead, which are very similar games. The Evil Dead, you have to go through the same things each round. There's different play methods. There's, but for the main game, you have to, what do you have to do? Like, you have to get the pages of the Necronomicon or whatever. I guess a few things. Then you fight some demons. It's pretty much, I mean, there's like three main things you got to do. And it's the same in each map. It's cool, but I don't think enough changes. Like with the Jason, you don't know exactly what what anybody's going to do that round. Are they going to try to fix the car? And really, it ends up being, like, what you end up finding. You find the battery, because you got to, like, to fix the car, you got to find the battery, you got to find the car keys, and you have to actually install it. And again, that'll be shit. Like, Jason will hear things like when you're starting the car or fixing the battery and shit. And there'll be like two different car locations, so he's got to guesstimate as to which one he can like teleport. but like, man, it's just so, it is. The game gets intense, gets super intense, and I'm just a fan, and I really hope that they really are putting this back out there, you know, turning the servers back on and maybe getting some more stuff added to it. Cause there was, it was exciting to hear that, you know, they were going to, I mean, they were going to put every fucking Jason in here. You were going to be able to, do Jason X, which I thought would be really funny, and then be on the spaceship. And, you know, were they going to possibly be able to get the rights to get Robert Englund involved? And I love me some Nightmare on Elm Street. That's like my favorite horror movie franchise. And if you get some Freddy vs. Jason shit, which opens up a whole other realm, like if you, gameplay method, if you add like Freddy to the mix, if there's Freddy versus Jason, and I mean, they could even go the route of, I mean, this is just thoughts throwing it out there. Again, I don't even know if this game's actually being opened back up and like being worked on currently. I don't know. but they could potentially have Ash versus Freddy versus Jason. You could have the Evil Dead thrown in there because, you know, originally before Freddy vs. Jason came out, they wanted to have that. There were people working. I don't know how far it got, but they wanted to have Ash Williams from Evil Dead, Mr. Bruce Campbell, fucking legend, take on Freddy and Jason. And that would have been fucking epic. We didn't get that, however. but it would have been fucking pretty great to see Ash versus Jason versus Freddy. They did put out at least a few comic books from my understanding of that, but we never got to see it on the screen with Mr. Bruce Campbell and Mr. Robert fucking Englund. Two legends. That is a shame that they never got to have those two characters with those two great actors go at it. But you know what? As of right now, Bruce Campbell and Robert Englund are still very much alive. And could do some voiceover work for the game. Again, there's some issues with, I mean, they're going to have to pay. That's some big IPs right there. That's a big price tag. But, you know, I mean, they got the rights for Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, they did for Friday the 13th for a while. Sounds like they probably did again. Man, it would be fucking great to have Ash versus Jason versus Freddy. And that could throw in just a whole other element to that game. I mean, that would be one hell of a... Holy shit. but holy fuck. But as far... Yeah, as... I mean, they did also do the game Predator Hunting Grounds, which was fun. That was another game that was very much in the same vein. I never tried the Attack of the Killer Clowns one, or Killer Clowns from Outer Space. That's what it is. I'm getting like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes and Killer Clowns from Outer Space mixed up in my head. Anyway, but yeah, there's, to me, I mean, there's Dead by Daylight or whatever. That one I just only tried to briefly play. Holy shit. Man, I'm hoping this is really really coming back. Holy fuck. I mean, it could be, it's Kane Hodder. He could be just doing, just, they might have just, it thought it worked really well for him doing the mocap for Friday the 13th. I'm like, let's get him to do some other shit. A big killer of any sort. But that's really all I've got. I feel like I could go on Friday the 13th and shit, Ozzy forever. Anyway. So as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.